Hello and welcome back to What Do You Know For Sure podcast with me, Anne Hughes. In this episode, I'm joined by Alison McKenzie, and this is a great conversation about the giving spectrum is how we kick it off, about that balance between what we give to other people and what we give to ourselves. But then we get through to talk about really having self-reflection and self-awareness around paying attention and, you know, asking yourself, what do I need? Which can be such a struggle for so many women, I believe. But what do I need in this? What is in my highest interest? What difference do I want to make in the world? And having real self-reflection on that and really looking at that quest for meaning that I think we all have. Every single person that walks the face of the earth wants to understand why at some point, no matter how briefly. So I hope that you enjoy this conversation. Alison, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Anne. It's wonderful to be here.
Thank you. Tell us a wee bit about you.
Oh, well, we were just having that discussion. It's all changed a bit, but for me, I live in Scotland, just outside Edinburgh on the beach, and I completely turned my life around 17, 18 years ago, went from corporate into setting up my own business and been running my own business as a coach, a therapist, a wellbeing specialist, business mentor, done lots of things over the years. But now what I'm focusing in on is helping women over 40 live a more joyful, meaningful life and make a difference in the world. And it's really about that balance between nurturing ourselves and having impact. And yes, how we do that and that dance, you know, how that all weaves together.
Oh, what a wonderful path you're on then.
Oh, I feel so fortunate and so blessed. Even though I do know some of it has come through some of the decisions I've made, I still feel very blessed.
Yeah, oh, that's a good way to feel it is. Tell me, what do you know for sure?
I know for sure that we feel better about ourselves when we strike a healthy balance between giving to ourselves and giving to others. So I talk about something called the giving spectrum. And at one end of that spectrum, you have people that we've probably all met, the people who are all about me, 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 and all self-absorbed. And then you get the others at the other end of the spectrum who are the givers and the nurturers. And so many people and so many women fall into this nurturing. We might jump into this need wanting to achieve, but find it hard to strike that healthy balance. And when we do try to push ourselves with more male energy, it can feel like almost an internal conflict. So I've learned that it's about developing a way that we can nurture ourselves and get our own needs met, while at the same time striking that healthy balance of standing up for ourselves, standing up for what's important to us, and also looking at how we give to others, but in a way that is completely unconditional. You know, when we're giving, we're doing it through love and kindness, and it is completely unconditional, but at the same time, no, it is okay to say no. Because we need to look after ourselves. You know, I'm somebody that's come through that life of that that sort of type A high achiever, go, 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 burnt out several times, suffered adrenal fatigue, been ill through it because I didn't learn the lessons. And now I feel very, very fortunate to have found myself in a position where I seem to have got a much better balance. And my business, my work has to fit around my health, my family, and what's important to me, and not the other way around.
I resonate with that so much. And I think that because so often, isn't it, when women are choosing to put themselves first, perhaps, or to put their dreams or their goals or their ambitions first, they can face backlash, not only from men, but from women as well. Can they? About why are you prioritising yourself over your family? And it's like, well, because I'm really important, but so are they, and I do care for them. And we end up having to make excuses, don't we? Explain ourselves.
Absolutely. Rather than accepting that both are important. And, you know, and it's interesting you say about the criticism you can sometimes get as well, because I'm a woman who, you know, I'm in my 50s now. I really wanted to have children. That didn't happen. For unknown reasons. And part of that, the most distressing time for me was in my 30s and 40s, when I was, you know, when I had the career initially in the investment world, and then I went self-employed in the business, and I would get criticism. And actually, the worst of it was from other women criticizing me for putting my, what they perceived as my career and my business before having a family. Yes. And it was the assumption that I didn't want a family. And every single time women would say to me things like, well, have you not thought about having a family? Why are you not having a family? It hurt like hell because I didn't want to tell everybody about the fact that I was trying and went through IVF, did everything. Now I talk about it and it's one of the things I help other childless women with. But it is interesting how we can be criticised for trying to still allow that part of ourselves, that real part of ourselves that can get lost in the, in that, in those middle years of life, whether or not it's with a family or through a career. It's okay to want something too.
Yes.
And it's actually, that's what's going to keep us happier and healthier for longer and probably live longer if we can get that balance right.
Mm-hmm. And I've had this conversation, not on the podcast, but with women before who maybe go back to work quickly after having a family, or they take a job where they're away 3 or 4 nights a week. Mm-hmm. And a man, it would be like, he's doing the best for his family, good for him. And a woman, it's like, I can't believe, I mean, who would leave their baby at 6 weeks old? Or I can't believe she spends so much time away from their from her children. And here's the point, and we have said this before in the past, like on LinkedIn a few weeks ago, it's none of my business whether or not you choose to work, whether or not you have children. I would never ask you about whether or not you wanted to have children because it's not my business. And how can we as women not just support us for where we are in the conversation we're having, as opposed to putting all these labels on women?
Wouldn't it be nice if we just celebrated all women instead of putting them down through the judgments we make?
And so has that journey, do you think that journey is better now for a woman that's in her, perhaps it's just a reflection, isn't it, but perhaps in her 30s or 40s now, who is finding that children aren't going to happen for her, or maybe she doesn't want children, she prioritises her career. Do you think that the world is easier and gentler now because people are more honest, or do you think it's probably just still as harsh?
I think it's still as harsh. I mean, I wrote a blog that got quite a bit of traction called Coming to Terms with Being Involuntarily Childless.
Yeah, that's what I've commented on, yeah.
Yes, and the reason I think that got so much interest was because it was written for women in that position, but also for anybody who knew women who didn't have children, so that you understood the different perspectives and knew what to say or not to say. And I think one of the reasons it got the traction was that it is still so difficult for so many people. I mean, culturally, it's the first thing that's quite often asked of you, meet somebody new, or do you have family? Which, you know, is, I can understand it to some extent, but it makes the assumption that everybody would have one and there's something wrong if you don't. And actually what happens a lot, and it might seem harsh for some parents to hear it, but what happens a lot when you have no children is you say no, and then people don't know what to say and walk away. And then you're left feeling even more like they're, you know, isolated or alone, you know. So it's I think once you get older, you stop thinking. So I think actually once you've, I'm now through the menopause, but of course the menopause then is another emotional turmoil time for women who don't have children, because it's the realisation they will never now have children.
Yeah.
And it's almost just like an extra grief. But once you come through the menopause, if you are a woman who hasn't had children, you do the healing and then you come through it, then it no longer, I mean, it doesn't bother me now. It doesn't bother me at all. Uh-huh. But I can see why it is upsetting for people who are trying.
Now in your life, do you feel as if you surround yourself, has it been a conscious decision to surround yourself with women who have a wee bit more sisterhood about them, who are not about judging each other, who are about, let's help each other rise in whatever part of our lives they want to rise in?
Yeah, I mean, I am now completely surrounded by other women who have very similar values to me. We have similar interests, things that we enjoy. And for a few years, that was predominantly other single women, because we were the ones that weren't looking after family and having those conversations. And while it's nice to hear about friends' children, it wasn't what we wanted to spend our time talking about. But now what's lovely is it's I've, you know, I've got a lot more friends who also have children, you know, whether or not they've grown up and they've just come back into the fold, or new friends I've made because of the shared interests that we have and this desire to help everyone become the woman that they want to be, to support them on that process, to celebrate who every woman is without judgment. And I say that, you know, that's the intention. We obviously all have unconscious judgments that we're programmed with, but I guess the people I spend a lot of time with are people who we have conversations about, gosh, I didn't realise I had, still had a judgment about such and such. You know, we have that. We go deep on those conversations.
Yeah. And if we go back to you talking about the given spectrum, I love that phrase, quite honestly. And how do you think, or have you got advice, reflection on how women can forge that path better? Because I can see, I do a thing called the Enneagram. I don't know if you've ever done that, Alison, right? And most women come out high on a number two, which is the helper. But that's, I came out high on number two, but I'm not, I'm a number seven. I'm an enthusiast, right? And that's very clear to me. But even when other women do it, they always say, I don't know whether I'm a two or a something else. And I'm saying, well, you need to read it and you will identify once you begin to read it. But isn't it interesting that so many women find themselves in that position where their priority must be other people before themselves? How do we navigate that? What have your reflections on how we navigate that as women?
I think, and it is interesting because I do know some women who are the other side, but then I don't know they really are. I don't know if they've had to learn to adapt to be that way, in all honesty. But yes, let's assuming we're over on the not looking at, you know, we're giving too much away. I think my biggest insight is to pay attention to what your body says it needs. You know, this is probably to me the daily practice that we can all do. Because there are so many things, but if we were just to simplify it, it is to every single day ask yourself, what do I need? What does my body need? And what is my body telling me is right for me? And that could be ahead of any decision. It could be setting the attention for the day. It could be ahead of, you know, spending time with children or going out to see somebody. It's always, what do I need? Remembering to ask that question.
Yeah.
And then paying attention to it. So, for instance, I mean, even just little things like at the weekend there, I wasn't feeling 100% on Saturday morning. And I love going sea swimming on a Saturday morning with Bernadette, who I know is also, you've also had a conversation with on this show. And I love going there because it's a really wonderful group of women who are all there because we like being in the water. There's a real sense of belonging and community, even though during COVID we can't really hang around. We have to socially distance. I still feel part of something. So I really wanted to go along, but I didn't feel 100%. And I got up and I had my wetsuit on, and because I was trying to push through what my body was telling me. And then I just thought, you know, what do I need? What do I read night round? What's in my highest interest? And it was, you've just got to go to bed. You know, and part of, you know, so I did go to bed and I messaged everybody saying I'm not going to come. Part of it was because I was torn between the two. But actually, part of it is going along to be part of that community and being of support to other people too. You know, whereas I realised, no, I had to pay attention to that piece that said that was the right thing in that moment. And that's something any of us can do. There's obviously a lot more we can do around self-care, which is a whole other topic. But that for me is the simplest way if we're not looking after ourselves enough. However, we might sometimes be caught up in, maybe we've managed to do something where we have got to a point where we've lost sight of ourselves, or a few. So that could be, it could be a mother who has spent too much time with the family, or it could be in business or in our careers. And that is all, that's then asking, you know, again, that same question, but also, what difference do I want to make in the world so that we can actually realign the difference or the way in which we're contributing to what is important to us? Because sometimes it can be more than being a parent, a partner, a daughter, you know, a sister. There might be something else that's burning inside, some other social or environmental issue that we feel passionately about. And maybe that's what will help energize us.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Have you? Because it's a lofty question to ask yourself, isn't it? What difference do I want to make in the world? And a lot of people, I would imagine, shy away from such a big question. It can be very simple, is what I would add to that. It doesn't have to be a big, huge thing. But have you identified what it is that you want to do to make a difference in the world?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very clear on this. And it is about, for me, I mean, everything I do in my work, for instance, and even the charitable piece I do around building, bringing groups of women together to raise funds to build schools in Asia, because I've got connected to the fact that I would have loved to have had children and I haven't had my own, mm-hmm. I want to do something that helps other children. And that is the way in which I've chosen to do it from a charitable perspective. For me personally, I want to get, my aim is to have a positive impact on the lives of over 100,000 people, which may sound a lot, but it isn't actually, if in the nature of the work that I do.
Yeah.
And that, you know, schools will impact so many thousands of people within a community for decades. So it isn't that much. But actually, just because I have that kind of, as you say, I've got that big vision, because there's a part of me that feels I have had that need to do that. A vision to, you know, the impact, to make the difference, to could be, not simply, because it's, to me, it's the most valuable gifts we can give, is what we can give our family too, as long as you personally are getting your needs met too. Mm-hmm. So the way in which you want to make a difference in the world could be with your children. Mm-hmm. It could be with the local school or local project or community project. It could be any of these things. What I do know in, being on a quest for meaning myself and helping other women find more meaning is, meaning it partly comes from inside, in that it's a feeling that we have, and we can feel when we lack meaning in our lives. And meaning is actually, you know, there's more people on looking for that deep thirst or quest for meaning than they are happiness, because meaning actually is about what gives you a reason to live. Yeah. Meaning is what can sometimes also be the reason to die. You know, it's what gives your life more substance, if you like. But we can't do it alone. Mm-hmm. So there's a part of it that is about us. But actually, the beauty of meaning is that it's actually about reaching out and being of service and contributing to others. But again, still doing it in a way that has both sets of needs getting met.
Great. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing. I know that you struggled with what you would tell me, and you for sure, because you've got lots of sureness in you, haven't you, Alison?
Yeah, I've got a lot of sureness. I was like, which one do I start with?
Thank you so much. And I'm going to pop a link to your website into the commentary with this show.
Oh, thank you so much. And thanks to everybody who's listening.
Oh, thank you, Alison. Hello, and thank you for joining me on this episode of What Do You Know For Sure podcast. If you would like to connect with me, you can do that across social media by searching Anne Hughes Ignite. If I refer to my radio show and the podcast, you can catch those on my Mixcloud, again, just searching Anne Hughes Ignite. And if you or anybody you know want to answer this question with me, please do get in touch. Just go onto my website, annehughesignite.co.uk, and fill in the contact page at the bottom, and I'll be delighted to have this conversation with you too. Thank you.